5, which is also when she started writing songs. For 22 years, she has performed locally with her band Relativity, whose members include her husband, Toby Jensen, on guitar and vocals, and fiddle player extraordinaire Mike Hildebrand. Relativity has performed at the Minnesota Zoo, art centers, wineries, weddings, and recently at the Lakeville Performing Arts Center. Let's find out much more right here live in the KYMN studio. Let's talk to Sandy Jensen. Hey, Sandy, thanks for being here today.
Hey, Pauline, thanks for having me.
I am interested a little bit in the gig you just had on Thursday, Pub Night at Lakeville Center for the Arts. That sounds like a really cool gig.
It was awesome. That venue really supports live music and original live music. And so we just love playing there. The audiences are fantastic, very supportive, and you know, they're asking for encores, and it's just a really, really fun place to play. So we had a sold-out show there on Thursday night.
Oh, how exciting. How exciting. We got to have something like that going in Northfield, I think. Sometimes we could do it at the Guild, right? But we need more spaces to be able to have those kind of shows. I think it would be awesome.
I agree, yeah.
So I'm going to dig right in. Now, I said in the intro that you started singing and actually writing songs at the age of 5. So I want you to take me from those first memories, which is pretty amazing. Although kind of maybe we're all songwriters when we're that young, just because it all comes out of us. But I want you to take me from when you first start remembering your first memories of music and what you did with music and up to, you know, your adult life.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, as you mentioned in the intro, some of my earliest memories are around singing and just wandering around our farm and making up little songs, you know, which I didn't write the words down or anything like that, but I wandered around and sang. And I remember when I was 5, when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show, dancing in the living room with my mom, who was only 26 at the time. So,
Baby.
You know, I don't know if that was in part an inspiration to me or not. But then my sisters and I have 4 sisters and 2 brothers.
Wow, big family.
Right. And I have an identical twin as one of those. And cool. My sisters and I used to do a lot of singing around the house. We weren't playing instruments at that time, but we were just singing all the time. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we'd sit down at the dinner table and we'd still be singing. And so our mom came up with this crazy saying that if you sing at the table, you're going to marry a crazy husband. And so That was actually the inspiration for one of the songs on our CD called Crazy Husband. So people might think it's about Toby, but it's actually not.
Understood. That's good to know.
Yeah. So in grade school, I was in choirs, you know, all the way from the first year that I could be in a choir up until I graduated from high school. And I was in a couple of musicals in the chorus only because I was too shy to have any speaking parts at that time. I was kind of painfully shy when I was in high school. It's gotten a little better as I've gotten older. And I had, you know, piano lessons, played clarinet in the band for just 1 year and dropped out of that. But one thing I remember from when I was younger, too, is that my family used to watch. This is going to date me a little bit, but we used to watch the Ted Mack Amateur Hour. I don't know if you remember that.
You're probably
too young to remember that. But there were a lot of family bands on that show. And it was, you know, kind of an Ed Sullivan-ish type of show, but on a more local level, I believe. But anyway, I would watch those, and I would dream about having a family band. And so eventually, you know, that happened quite a few years later with Relativity. But so other things in my early musical career, I guess, by the time I got to college, I decided I'd had enough choir singing. So I did sing in a couple friends' bands briefly in college in Mankato. And then didn't really do a whole lot of music for a few years there. And then after Toby and I got married and moved to Northfield, I joined the Northfield Chorale.
Okay.
So I was back in a choir for a couple of years with that. And then I actually decided, you know, I hadn't sung a whole lot, so I wanted to kind of get my voice back in shape. So I took some group voice lessons at the Arts Guild. And Carol Ryland was the voice teacher, and she said, how would you like to sing in the Bleacher Girls, a women's a cappella group? And so that's how I got started in the Bleacher Girls and performing in the Over and Back shows. And that's how I got to know Mike Hildebrandt, who later became a member of Relativity.
Wow, so. Awesome. When did you start playing guitar?
I tried to learn it a little bit when I was a teenager and mm-hmm. just didn't stick with it. Actually picked it up after we started Relativity. So I was 40 years old before I started playing guitar.
Well, that's an inspiration.
So it's never too late. And then I also learned mandolin after that, too. So
wow. And you've learned it well enough not to just be at home writing songs but you've learned it well enough to be able to actually perform with it, which is there's a big difference between just using it as a rehearsal kind of instrument to being able to play it out.
Mm-hmm.
How many years did it take for you to get that good enough to do that?
I would say maybe a year.
Wow, good for you.
Kind of concentrated practice. Now I don't play as much as I should, but after the first of the year, one of my resolutions is to find a good YouTube channel guitar teacher and just, you know, get better.
Yep. If you need live teachers, ask Steve. I'm sure he could set you up with some. Or
okay.
The YouTube ones, too.
Great.
So, okay, awesome. I want to move to, we'll talk more about Relativity and what you're doing now a little later, but I want to get to the first song that you picked for us to play today, which is Million Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote the song.
I did.
So where did the conception of the idea for the tune start?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of those beautiful, cold, sunny winter days, and I was driving and looking across a field of snow, and the sun was just sparkling off the snow like a million diamonds. And so that's what this idea just popped into my head, that, you know, a million diamonds, and then the tune for the chorus kind of came to me at the same time.
Wow.
So that was what inspired it, and then I, you know, gradually worked out the rest of the lyrics.
So how much collaboration do you have in your songwriting? Let's just start with this song. Do you bring it fully formed to the group, or do you get input from them once you get to a certain point?
This one I brought fully formed to the group, and there are others that we collaborated on.
Okay.
So when Relativity first started out, my identical twin sister was in the group, and my husband, and so we were all related, and that's how we came up with the name of Relativity. And so the three of us collaborated on some of the earlier songs that we wrote.
Mm-hmm. And on this song, who's all playing?
This is Toby and me on guitar, Craig Wozner on piano, Mike Hildebrandt on violin, and our friend Mark Juniman on bass.
Awesome. And so when you play out, it's usually just your husband and you and Mike?
Correct.
Right. And so for the album, you brought in some more instruments to fill out the parts.
Exactly. Yep.
And you recorded this at Craig's studio, Wozner Audio?
We did.
Awesome. Yep. And you released it during COVID, which is good for you. That's amazing. So let's take a listen to Million Diamonds, written and performed by my guest today, Sandy Jensen, along with her band, Relativity. Awesome. Got plenty of time.
Long Shining on the snow is like a million diamonds, and I know if you would only be by my side, together we could shine as bright as all those million diamonds. Summer's come to sit out on my porch tonight. Crickets sing, a million stars shine in the sky. I would wish on everyone to bring you home, like the stars above were just no good alone. Stars shining up above are like a million diamonds, and shine as bright as all those million beach. I think of you once more. Sun is sparkling on the waves, and there you are. Said that you'd been wishing for me on a star. Sun shining on the sea is like a million diamonds, and I see now that you're here and standing by my side. Together we will shine as bright as all those million diamonds. Together we will shine as bright as all those million diamonds. This
is Pauline Jennings, and you are listening to Musician Talk. Today, my guest is Sandy Jensen, and you just heard her sing and play guitar on her original tune, Million Dollars, along with her band, Relativity, and some friends. So I love this song, the sweeping nature of it, and yet, you know, when Craig starts his solo, then some groove comes into it, and mm-hmm. So that's a great feel, memorable hook, and I love what everybody did in the song.
Thank you.
What's your favorite part about the song, this one?
I think it was the first time I had tried a little bit different chord progression than I had done before. I liked the way it came together with using different visuals for the sparkling things.
Yes.
The stars and the sea in addition to the snow.
It's very evocative. You were able to really picture it in your head, and so well done with those lyrics.
Thank you.
So when you said that you brought this fully formed to the band, as far as the chord progression and the instrumentation you wanted, all that, I assume, but then when you bring it to them, do you have the violin and piano parts written out?
No, not at all.
That would be something else if you did.
Right. Mike Hildebrand, of course, is amazingly talented, so he just goes with it, you know. He just improvises instrumental parts, and they're always incredible. So.
They're spot on, aren't they?
Yeah,
they
same
really with
are.
Craig. And I have to say here, for people who listen to this often, Craig Wozner, once again, is mentioned. I think he's mentioned in 99% of the interviews because he's got his fingers in all the music in town.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, and so, you know, Craig just took it and ran with it too. So it was amazing. Really fun to hear something you've written come together with all these additional pieces added to it. So lots of fun being in the studio. And when we recorded the CD, we wanted it to be as close to kind of a live feel as possible. And so we really did one take almost every song. And then there was some layering, you know, of the harmonies and the piano and things after the fact. But most of these were recorded with one take.
Wow. Even more impressive. Wow. That's incredible. And how do you choose which songs? So this album is called Are We There Yet? And it, I love it. Are we? No kidding. And what a great name of an album that came out during COVID. We just needed to get to somewhere, just somewhere instead of sitting static. So you had, I assume, a bunch of songs that you had written, and you wanted to put some on the CD. How did you choose which songs to put on?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're, you know, for having been together as a band for 22 years, I guess we probably aren't hugely prolific songwriters because we don't, you know, we didn't have a huge catalog of songs to choose from, but, you know, we didn't put all of our originals, obviously, on here, but so we wanted to kind of choose some that were written by Toby, some that were written by me, and then some that we had collaborated on a band. So there's a good mix of the three.
So you not only married a singer, guitar player, you also married a songwriter. What a great matchup, you two.
Right. And it's funny because we didn't even know that about each other until after we were married. I didn't even know he was a guitar player, which seems odd that didn't come up when we were dating, but it didn't. I mean, we were just busy with careers and other things at that at that point in our lives. And one day he brought a guitar out of the closet, and I'm like, I didn't know you played guitar, and he was actually very good. So,
oh, what a great surprise.
Yeah, it really was.
I love it when our partners can surprise us like that.
Right, yeah. So he decided he wanted to get back into guitar playing, so started taking a few lessons to brush up, and then talked to his guitar instructor and said, well, my wife sings, and so I started singing with his guitar instructor, who was Gary Heil, at the Tavern. And then I went back to Toby, and I'm like, we have got to start a band. So that's how Relativity got started, and talked my twin sister into joining us. So she was with us for about the first 13 years, and then she retired from the band, and then that's when we asked Mike Hildebrandt to join us.
Wow, what a great addition.
Absolutely.
I was wondering about what you said back about your shyness when you were younger, and that you didn't do, you didn't want to do a role in the show that you had to speak,
right,
that you could be in the chorus. I was wondering about that shyness, and you said you got over it, and if music was part of that, getting over it.
Yeah, I think it really, it definitely was, because you become a different person when you're on stage, I think. I think a lot of performers are introverted, but they put on a different persona when they're on the stage. And but you can kind of start to become a little bit of that persona, you know.
Right.
So I definitely think it helped me become more outgoing, and just getting used to going out and schmoozing with the crowd during your breaks and things like that has helped me become more outgoing.
It's kind of like it forces you to face that thing that keeps you shy, keeps you in your shell, keeps you introverted,
right.
And it teaches you that it's okay. Everything doesn't fall apart. Our life is okay. It keeps going on when you go out there and talk to people, when you're on stage and you talk to people.
Exactly.
And I would say also that perhaps you become part of that persona, but I think more and more probably what happens is you, Sandy, comes through more and more, and you're more Sandy now on stage than you were 20 years ago.
That's probably true.
Would you think so? Yeah. And so kind of along the same topic of music helping you come out of your shell and face some of those issues you have with shyness, how else has it worked in your life in an important way?
Boy, music is just such a central part of my life. It's really... You know, a lot of our friendships are based around music.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the people we've gotten to know over the last 36 years of marriage, and especially the last 22 years since we've been in a band, is that we've made friends with tons of other musicians. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our closest friends are musicians, or they're people who are fans of live music who we meet when we're out playing.
Sure.
So that friendship factor is really huge.
Yeah, it is. And I find that, well, it's true in my life and Steve's life. I think that's most of our friends other than family is music or theater for me. Mm-hmm. And so it provides that those important relationships. Also, it provides something music does to our culture, and the importance of music in our culture is something that I want to push in this show.
Right.
That I mean, arts in general, but for this purposes of this show, music. And I'm just wondering what you think some of the most important aspects of having music in a culture or what it does to a culture.
Mm-hmm. I really think it brings a sense of community. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're at a sporting event and they're playing We Are the Champions and you're singing it in the stadium full of people, I mean, that's a sense of community.
Yes.
And, you know, same kind of thing when they play the national anthem at the Olympics or something. You know, it's that sense of bringing people together, I think, is one of the most important cultural aspects of music.
Absolutely. Also, I think on the smaller scale, you talk about big stadiums. Also, in a smaller way, in our smaller communities, and how it brings us together. And
absolutely,
just going to a concert,
right?
I suppose that too,
right?
So, I want to get to our second song here, so we have time after that to talk about best gig, worst gig. this is called Laurel's Cafe, and you wrote this as well.
I did.
And, so, where did the concept for this song come from?
Well, this. My first real job when I was 14 was working at a little truck stop cafe called Laurel's Cafe in Fairmont, my hometown. And prior to that, I'd, you know, done babysitting, bean walking, you know, cash jobs. But this was my first job with a real paycheck. You know, I got a whole $1.35 an hour.
Wow.
But the perks were free food. You know, we could make malts and french fries. Mm. To our heart's content, and we could flirt with the boys from the lumberyard next door. So, who came
Perfect.
Into the cafe? So
Perfect.
It was a great job for a teenager. And one day, I was just thinking about all of the interesting characters that used to come into the cafe, and what a great song it would make.
Yes,
and also just about the kind of teenage angst you have when you're in a small town and you think that there's got to be something bigger and better out there in the world than what you're experiencing in your little hometown. And and then the other thing that the song kind of touches on is that back in the mid-70s, when I was working at Laurel's Cafe, I-90 was just being built, and it was it ran right past Fairmont, but on the outskirts of town. And so Laurel sat on a highway that used to be the main highway to South Dakota and Wisconsin, the other direction. And so the interstate took away a lot of the business from the small family-owned businesses in the downtown of Fairmont. So it kind of touches on, you know, what the effect of that was also.
I love the storytelling aspect of this song. It reminds me of some of the stuff that Nancy Griffith sings. So I love that aspect of it. And let's see, was there anything else here? Who's playing on this song? Same group?
This is all the same people as
awesome.
On the originals.
Well,
on the other
perfect.
One.
Perfect. Let's listen to Sandy Jensen sing and play guitar on her original song, Laurel's Cafe.
Job was working as a waitress in a little truck stop diner called Laurel's. Regulars were boys who worked next door at the lumber yard. They made us blush with stories they would tell. A man came in most every day, and we called him Ham Dinner, 'cause he never ordered that man, her memory was weak. At the Rose, we watched the world go by on Highway 16. We knew bigger things were out there that we hoped someday to see. And we envied all the travelers on their way. Just stopping by Lorel's truck stop cafe. South Dakota, through little towns and cornfields and prairies. Families on vacation stop on their way to somewhere. Station wagons packed with all that they could carry. One day some folks from Canada were sitting in my section. They were from Quebec and headed home. To a 14-year-old waitress and my friend behind the counter, hearing French was as exotic as we'd known. At Lorel's we watched the world go by on Highway 16. We knew bigger things were out there that we hoped someday to see. And we envied all the travelers on their way. Just stopping by Lorel's truck stop cafe.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. Today, my guest is Sandy Jensen, and you just heard Lorel's Cafe, a song included on her recently released album. She sings on it, and she plays guitar. Wow. Okay. So you are so good. Your writing is so good at evoking visuals in your head.
I mean, thank you.
In the conversational way that you write, it's so not pretentious. It's so immediately accessible. And particularly in a song like this, where it's this story that grabs your attention. And I'm so sorry that it was closed when you went back. What a bummer.
It was sad. It's reopened as an antique shop now. So my sister and I went in there last time we were in Fairmont and just looked around, but obviously, you know, no resemblance to the old Lorels. I was hoping they might still have some of the old chrome bar stools or something. But nothing. So
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been fun to buy something from there.
Yeah, it really would.
Remembrance. And those highways, they have taken the lifeblood, just like the big box stores have taken lifeblood out of these small towns,
right?
Because people are not going downtown anymore, and that's That is a shame. It really is. All right. So, love story. It's also you're very good at writing Americana. I mean, I can't really put my finger on the genre. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of folk, but kind of not.
Yeah, right. So. I've always had trouble coming up with a good descriptor too for some of our original stuff. You know, some of it's almost poppy, some is, like you said, folk or Americana. But and I do like to tell stories in the songs that I write. There's a number of them that are that way, and I'm working on one now about Fox Lake Ballroom, which is a place we used to go when I was a kid and listen to rock and roll bands and dance and stuff like that. So that'll be another storytelling song, kind of like Laurel's.
It's so great because you have these ways that you can take snapshots or get glimpses into these different parts of humanity. Just when you work in a restaurant like that, that's on the way to somewhere,
right?
You got to see all these different. Hear the French being spoken, and I'm sure from Fairmont and being 14, you probably have never. Wow, that's cool. No. They're speaking French. It's so cool. So awesome. Let's go. We've got to move on to our best gig, worst gig, and I understand you have some ideas of what to talk about here.
I do. Actually, I have like three best gigs.
Okay.
Well, number one is the one we already mentioned, is the sold-out show at Lakeville Arts.
Awesome.
And just because the audience is so supportive. But a similar thing was Fairmont, my hometown, has Red Rock Center for the Arts. And we were invited to play there. And so to go back to your hometown and have a sold-out show there was just amazing. And so the audience there was similarly, you know, really into the original music. And, of course, it was fun for them to hear Laurel's Cafe because it was a place a lot of them were familiar with. And so that was great. And then
when was that gig?
That was a few years ago, maybe five or six.
But it was the current iteration of Relativity.
Yes, it was, although my sister came back and joined us. She had already left the group, but she came back and joined us for that gig because, you know, she knew everybody in Fairmont, and there are a lot of our classmates there and things, so it was really a very fun time.
Sounds like a really great best gig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And then if I can add one more.
Yeah, absolutely.
this year, for the first time, we got to play in the entertainment tent for Jesse James Days.
Ah.
And so that was just really fun because we had, family there and a lot of their high school friends and just, you know, fun to play in such a great local Northfield tradition, you know, Defeated Jesse James Days. So
I think some of the best gigs are either have to do with who is in the audience because it's a special audience with, like you said, family and friends from home or from here in the tent, or it has to do with some really big gig, which not a lot of us have had, you know, in some arena or something, which I have interviewed a couple people like that. So it I guess with music, there's just bests all over the place, right?
Right. Yeah, and for us, I think it's more the audience, too, you know, how receptive they are to the originals, especially. So,
yeah, exactly. And that is a difficult thing, is having an audience tap into your original tunes because people want to hear what they know and what they're familiar with. So how do people get from playing covers to, which a lot, it's the goal of a lot of bands, is to be able to just play their original music if they write original music. How do you do that? How did you guys, you know, get that audience to like your stuff, I guess?
And it does vary depending on the venue, because when we're playing at wineries, we're basically a cover band. I mean, we play a lot of our own take on cover songs.
Yeah.
And then we try to throw in a few of our originals and, you know, try to sell a few CDs. Yeah, we're kind of a combination of the two. When we get the opportunity to play at art centers, then we get to play a lot more of our original music. And, you know, when you're not back playing in the background while people are sitting out in the winery talking, when you're in an art center setting, it's much easier to be able to get across what your message is in your original songs.
Right. So it's kind of like the cover stuff that you do developed your audience, develops your audience in that in one sense, and then they can maybe stick around for the original stuff. But then there's these new audiences that you go to that are already prepared for original music.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah.
It's good that you've been able to find that, tap into that. That's a tough thing to do.
Really, I think we've become pretty versatile because of that. And we typically hand out a request list of about 200 cover tunes when we play. So the audience can kind of take us where they want to go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
We hand out a request list of around 200 songs, and we keep updating it as we add new songs because we like to stay current. So, mm-hmm. Like Adele's got a new album out, so we'll probably learn one or two songs off of that and add that to the request list. So things like that, we try to stay current, and then...
The audience fills something out and gives it to you, or how do
right,
you know
they'll
they
either
want?
Just come up and ask, or they'll circle it and bring it up. And
so that is a brilliant idea.
It's pretty fun. So we've got it, by decade. So going back from current to the 50s. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have to talk about your worst gig.
Oh, yes.
What was that?
Well, we were booked. This was a number of years ago when my twin sister was still in the band. We were booked to play at Wiederholtz. It's a supper club in a little tiny town of Meesville. And, it's a great place to go and eat.
Yes, prime rib.
Exactly. And they had a nice stage with lighting and everything. And so they booked us to come and play Friday, Saturday night, two weekends in a row. And they said, well, we're trying to get, a younger crowd in here. And that's when we were a little bit younger and we were playing top 40 cover tunes and things like that. So, but they forgot to tell the audience that. So...
Could you bring your kids, please?
Right.
Or your grandkids?
So, exactly. And so we got there, and the audience was expecting polka music Frank Sinatra-type music, mm-hmm. and that is not what we were. And so they kept bringing up requests for these songs that we did not know.
Oh, no.
And, I felt like we almost got booed off the stage. And as soon as we packed up our stuff at the end of the first night, and got in the car, my sister said, I quit. She was so disheartened that she wanted to leave the band. And so...
did you keep playing then the next night, or did you cancel?
We kind of had to. We had, basically signed a contract for these two weekends.
Oh,
so
no.
We had to keep coming back. So it was tough to get through those four nights, but we got through them, and we're just like, okay, that's never going to work again. So... it's funny to think back on now, but at the time, it was not a whole lot of fun.
Oh, no, it breaks your heart, and then you have to go back in three more times.
Exactly.
That is so unfair.
Right,
it's really unfair. Well, Sandy, this has been awesome, but I want to talk a little bit more about, before we end this, about relativity. Mm-hmm. And so your sister was part of it, your husband's been a part of it. Your sister left the band, you brought Mike in. What are kind of some of the things that you've done, some of the highlights of playing in Relativity these past 20 years?
Oh, boy. Well, we started out playing a lot at the Tavern, which it's so sad now that that's going to be gone. Uh-huh. I mean, it already is gone, but soon the whole building will be gone. And back then, yeah. Your band... The Sugar Beets, you were called for a while, I think.
We were.
You were playing there at about the same time.
I think there's a handful of us that for a while we were just, we were kind of in rotation.
Right.
Playing there.
And so we had a great time playing there. And then especially after Mike joined the band, we started doing more things like the Minnesota Zoo and art centers and festival type things, and so that's been just really fun. The Minnesota Zoo is really a lot of fun to play, and the art centers, like I mentioned, because we can play more of our original music. And we had talked about recording a CD for many years and just never got around to it. And finally, then during COVID, we obviously couldn't be out playing in public, so we decided to take advantage of that time and record. And the reason we called it Are We There Yet, part of the reason was that people kept asking us, when are you guys going to record a CD?
Oh, that's why.
When are you going to record a CD?
Nothing to do with COVID.
And so we finally said, okay, we're there. We're going to record a CD.
Awesome. How long did it take you to record this over COVID? Were you recording remotely?
No, we actually went into Craig Wozner's studio and, you know, wearing masks and everything, and took them off when we were singing. But, and yeah, we really, as I mentioned, we were recording it as to be as much like a live performance as possible. So we did only one take on most of the songs. So we really only recorded for a couple of days.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible from my experience, my very, very limited experience. That is absolutely amazing and almost a miracle. So, where can people get this CD right here? It's got a great cover on it. I'm looking at it. Three of you in a car with guitars and the violin in the back seat.
Right. Larry Hoffman took that photo. He used to have Hoffman Studio here downtown. And so you can get that on by going to our website, relativitytheband.com. And if you want an actual CD, which some people don't even have CD players anymore,
right.
So you can just send us an email and we'll be happy to get you a copy of the actual CD. Otherwise, we're streaming on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, and a few others. And there's links to all of those on our website.
Awesome. So people can go to relativitytheband.com and there they will find a place to email you.
Exactly.
In order to request a CD in the flesh.
Correct.
If you still have a CD player. Well, that is wonderful. And that will end the show today. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
And stay warm in this blustery weather.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
We just need some snow now.
That's right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, if you're interested in what I have cooking, well, it's a holiday show that will be live streamed on December 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. on the Towns Involved Brewing Company's Facebook page. Barb Piper is a special guest. She's a wonderful songwriter, singer, multi-instrumentalist, teacher, and entertaining performer. She'll perform some of her original tunes and join me on some holiday songs. Also, Pam Roth, singer extraordinaire, will join us from some kickin' three-part harmonies and a wonderful solo. Oh, there's so much more. Mark your calendar, December 13th, 6 o'clock p.m. for a live stream holiday jamboree show on Towns Involved Brewing Company's Facebook page. Hope you could join us. And now to close, so many thanks to Sandy Jensen for joining me on Musician Talk for this glimpse into her musical journey. My next show will be with Kyra Reverman, an incredibly talented middle school singer and actress, on December 12th. Sending out a heartfelt thanks to you for listening to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have a terrific day.